Don't just go through life, grow through it. Hi, and welcome to the Grow Through It podcast with Fee Deng. My name is Fee, and I am a human design life coach known as the Positivity Queen, and author of The Great Unlearning, Awakening to Living an Aligned and Authentic Life. Join me as I discuss all things mindset, self-love, energy, and purpose, which are the four pillars of my Soul Revolution coaching methodology. This podcast won't just inspire and motivate, it will also provide practical tips and strategies you can implement in your daily life. Ready to grow? Let's grow. Hi, beautiful souls. On today's podcast, we have Phoebe Greenacre, who is a harmonious blend of heart and hustle, embodying the spirit of holistic wellness with a savvy business acumen. She is a certified somatic movement therapist and guides individuals on transformative journeys through the wisdom of the body. Based in Bali, Phoebe's expertise as a conscious business coach shines a light for online holistic therapists seeking to flourish authentically in the digital realm. With a background of over 800 hours as a yoga teacher and insightful meditation guide, she offers a sanctuary of calm and clarity amongst the chaos. In today's episode, you'll hear more about Phoebe's journey, enriched by a decade in corporate marketing where she honed her strategies and has now repurposed to nurture heart-centered enterprises. She's had adventures in over 70 countries, injecting a global perspective into her practice, which is deepened by her degree in international business. She is a Pisces intuition, the dynamic energy of a manifesting generator. Please welcome Phoebe to the Grow Through It podcast. Hi, Phoebe. Welcome to the Grow Through It podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here, Phoebe. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, Phoebe, I feel like you have the most interesting life. It's full of starting again and starting over. And I think it's really inspiring because you've lived in America, you know, you're from Australia, you had a stint in London, and you now live in Bali. So I'd love for you to kind of share in your own words, kind of like your journey up until this point and more about you.
Okay. How do I put it all into like two or three refined, sophisticated sentences? I went to uni in Australia. I studied international business and commerce and Japanese. I thought I wanted to be a Japanese speaking spy, like working in international espionage. I realized at 21 after finishing uni that I had to go to Japan and live there to become more fluent. And at that time, I just wanted to party and buy clothes and go out and travel. So that dream went into the bin. But who knows? Little did I know that I would end up moving overseas, living in London, building an international brand, which I then sold. So I have kind of did adopt that international life just in a different way, I guess. I've traveled to 70 countries. I had a bit of a stint as a travel blogger in my early 30s. So that's when I moved to London. It's kind of been a huge journey. I've been in the entrepreneur scene though now for about 10 years. So I quit the 9-to-5. I was working at David Jones for head of social media and content at the time. And yeah, I quit the job and was 29, went through a huge Saturn return, like was broke, brokenhearted. I actually had to go through an abortion. Like I went through like the biggest rock bottom at 29 to then realize that I just really needed to leave Sydney and have a big, big, big start over and start my new kind of decade in the entrepreneur scene in London, kind of finding my true self without having that kind of conditioning of like, where did you go to school? Who are your friends? Sydney's obviously, you know, is very small and kind of interconnected. And so it was so beautiful just to move to London. No one knew me, one-way ticket, and just completely reinvent myself. And that's where I feel like I was allowed to be whoever I wanted to be without people judging me, I guess.
Ooh, that's so interesting, because knowing your human design, and we have the similar personality, the 2-4, because usually they say that 4 profile line, like we don't like to do things. We don't like to leap without a backup plan. And it sounds like you've kind of been all over the world. How do you kind of find anchor and grounding yourself in a certain, within yourself, I guess, because it's not like you're staying in the same place.
Yeah. So I guess before I did my somatic therapy training, I would say moving every day, movement, some type of form of moving and meditation would help me to feel at home in my body and feel grounded. But after somatic therapy, I kind of learned that home is always within me, and I can find that easily just by reconnecting to the sensations in my body in any time or any point of a day to feel at home. And now I feel at home very easily without having to have a huge morning routine or to have to move every day. I guess becoming a mum last year, I gave up those luxuries of like, oh, I have to do exercise to feel good every day. And I still do like to do exercise, but I have to find feeling good without having to tick off all of those boxes. Like, I need a green juice and I need a meditation and I need to like triple cleanse and do a face mask, and all of those things went out the window. So I've really gone through like a new transformation of finding feeling good without having any tools. I guess I've got tools that are not visual. They're not tangible. They're more intangible tools to help me with everyday life.
Gosh, I feel like there's so many different paths and things we can talk about. So I think we'll come back to motherhood, but what you were kind of sharing and saying that you've been like in the entrepreneur space for 10 years, like that sounds like such a long time, because I feel like entrepreneurship has recently come into the field and a lot of people really excited about it. Like I feel like there is like a social shift that people are kind of now gravitating towards starting your own business, but you've been in the long haul. So it'd be so interesting to hear your perspective on what it was like 10 years ago. And then what do you kind of see now, especially being like a conscious business coach and kind of seeing all the different businesses that are popping up and talking to people? What's your take on it?
Yeah. So I guess back in the day when I first started my own, it was a advertising, marketing, social media agency. So I was freelancing for different brands in Sydney. And I guess it was really hustle, kind of like, I don't know, I really had to lean on my network, which is great for my 2-4 line, my 4, in terms of getting out there and networking. So yeah, just in terms of networking, I really lent on that to kind of find my first kind of consulting job. So I did some consulting for Saba. There was an activewear brand called V Active in Bondi at the time, and I started consulting for them, and some hospitality things. Like I just was like anything that would come across my table, that's what I would work on. I remember doing some things for some gaming brands and I was like, this does not feel good. This has not come naturally. So I guess I kind of slowly started to steer into more wellness consulting or travel, because that's where my passions lied. And then back then it wasn't, you know, I was on Instagram back then, but people weren't building businesses on Instagram. Instagram was for like the shot of the wine at Bondi, you know, on a Friday afternoon, or a, like, you know, photos of yourself, or it was definitely nowhere what it is today and how I use Instagram today. So I definitely think it was probably a lot harder back then, I guess, to really, oh, you just had to lean on more traditional methods, like your network or like your LinkedIn. Yeah, really your network, I think, back then. So now you can jump online, you can open an Instagram account, you can start sharing content, and you can start finding your tribe like immediately. And that grows really quickly as well, if you really like targeted on who you want to help and how you help. So yeah, the whole scene's completely changed. But I've gone from creating an activewear brand in London, so very physical based product, manufacturers, marketing in store events, to then doing I'm completely online now. So no physical product. And for me, that has given me more freedom. So I guess a lot of people come to me. So if you want to start a physical based brand, probably don't talk to me, because I probably will talk you out of it. I'd be like, what your biggest values are in life, and make sure that matches up. So if you're starting a physical brand that's going to be in Sydney, that's going to be needs your time and energy, you're going to have to pay for storage and warehousing and distribution and stockists and stuff like that. If your biggest thing is that you just want to be free and you want to travel and you want to work from anywhere in the world, that may not quite match up in the first, say, 5 years, 5 to 10, 5 years, you know, until you get a build a team and, you know, have people work for you so that you can then travel. So for me, traveling was the biggest, being at the ability to travel at any point of time in the day, the week, the month. You want to go to Europe tomorrow? Let's go. That was kind of like, I want to be free. Or I want to go to yoga class at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, or have a bath, you know, Wednesday morning, and I don't have to be anywhere or do anything or be kind of locked into one place. So key freedom for me is that's what's kind of defined how I work. And still today, like how I run my two businesses at the moment, it is based all around freedom. So I can just pack up my family or pack up for a month or 3 months and just go anywhere. And it doesn't really affect my businesses.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the best things I think that draws people to starting your own business is having your own freedom. And I think it can be very daunting thinking of starting a business, and there's a lot of different moving parts. What do you think is the hardest part about starting a business that you found?
So I love the starting point. So I love, like, I've been my 10 years in digital marketing. So branding, storytelling, like logos, all of that creation side of things, that lights me up. I love that. And I can create a business in like a night. I'll buy the URL, I'll do the logo, I'll do a branding, I'll make a story and be like, boom, I have a new business like that. So that comes easily for me. I think what people may find, and I definitely did, when you get to a level of your career where you're on a very comfortable salary and your lifestyle's comfortable and you can travel and you can shop and you can, you know, everything's comfortable. So there's no real uncomfortability or discomfort that makes you jump to start the business. And that's why I find a lot of people are at this like precipice of like, well, I earn good money but I hate my job. And I hate my bosses. And I hate that I work 9 to 5. So that you really have to get to that edge of, okay, I'm ready to be uncomfortable. Because when I did leave my final full-time job at David Jones, I was earning, you know, six figures plus. I could go overseas a couple of times a year. That was a comfortable, cushy, you know, salary. So to give that up and to go jump into nothingness, or jump into a very small, like I started with one client with a small retainer. So it paid the bills. So I guess leaving the safety net, because for me, I've always had to have my own safety net of jumping to the unknown, I think is the hardest thing for me personally. So I would always suggest I'm a side hustle girl. I have like six side hustles going at any one time. Wait until you've got a safety net, because when we're in safety mode, when our core needs are met, like food, rent, shelter, we don't act in a frequency of scarcity. So we're not going to be getting online going, I just need one more client this month. And, you know, there's a different frequency when someone comes online saying, I have one opening and I don't actually need the client, but I would like to work with someone this month that's in this space. I think there's a different frequency that comes across when you aren't coming from a space of scarcity. And I think that's, if someone's thinking of starting a business, definitely whether you have a nest egg or you can support yourself for a while, or you do two things at once until you're like, oh, hang on, this can pay my bills. I'm ready. I can leave. Did you do that?
Yeah, it was very much the same. I was like a side hustle as well. And I think it's because you need that like safe, regulated nervous system. And I think when you are kind of in like the service, like soul-based business, like you want to have integrity, be in alignment with your values. So at no point, like, I don't want to like just have a client because I need the money. I want to like work with a client because it's from this place of desire and from this place of expansion. And it's very hard to like give it your all and be in your best self when in the back of your mind, you are worrying about like, how am I going to eat something? Or what about my rent? And that kind of starts to plague you, as opposed to like this beautiful, like frequency of like freedom and like joy. And like, cause that's the thing why you leave like a corporate job or a safe job in the first place, because it's like your needs are met, but there's something else niggling at you. It's like that soul fulfillment or your intuition that starts to go, ooh, is there more to life? Is there more beyond this like kind of safety realm?
100%. So yeah, if you're going to start a new business, definitely. And also start to see if you like it, because sometimes people train as something and then quit their jobs and go, I'm going to be a life coach. And then they're like, I don't really like doing this. This is really like heavy.
Yeah.
And so that's also a good idea to start on the side while you have your full-time job. See if you like it.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think also like when you do create a business and it's in your passion, it becomes something else. And I had a friend that, you know, was passionate about, you know, artistry. And then when it became her full-time living, she lost the joy of it. So actually when her business didn't work out, she didn't create for 2 to 3 years because it was such a, I guess, trauma in her eyes of what had happened. So that was like some advice that she also gave me of being mindful of creating that. And I think something that goes into the territory of like entrepreneurship is comparison, because like social media now, you can like see what everything's, what they're up to. And like, you know, even sometimes it's gratified, like, oh, like you did as a side hustle, but you know, I went all in and I went full out in my dream. So how do you feel about like compare? Do you feel like you still or ever compare yourself to other people? How do you get really like confident in like what you offer to the world? Because so many people, like when I coach them, they'll be like, oh, there's lots of like this job or there's lots of that. But I'm like, there's no one that is actually you. That's a whole different thing and very much based on your personal, unique, you know, energetic blueprint, like your human design and your strengths and your personality.
I guess when you reach my age, because I just turned 40, you stop giving fucks. And so like, I guess I haven't really compared myself to a lot of people for a long time, because I've always kind of been, well, I was the first one to leave my job. And like, I was the first one to move overseas into, you know, my circle of friends to start a business. So I was my first one in my circle of friends, I guess, to do the things that I have. And so I guess I did compare myself when all my friends were having babies and I was overseas, like traveling and doing that. So there was that definitely level. I do have that level of comparison of like, I want to have a family. What's wrong with me? Like I want to be able to do that. So yes, I do compare myself to others in that respect. But in terms of business, I feel like I've always been on like a juxtaposition of something's very like different or unique. Like when I launched my business of conscious and business coaching, no one was doing that. And so it was very individual to me and just unique, because that was like, I was a yoga teacher, meditation teacher, somatic therapist. So the conscious stuff was there, or the healing stuff was there. And then I was also, you know, 15 years in business. So I never really ever came across someone doing something so similar to me. So I guess that, yeah, that does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does answer my question. And I think something that really stood out when I was like kind of looking up about you was you say like cultivating an unwavering belief in yourself as a CEO is really important. And I think that was something that took me by surprise. Like, I guess when I entered entrepreneurship, you don't realize how much there is in also mindset work in addition to the strategics of actually creating your business as well and having this belief in yourself. Do you think it comes with like time and like through your actions that you've cultivated it? Or do you have any kind of like insight into this kind of belief in yourself? Because I think that's what stops a lot of people, like, could I be this type of person? Like, can I have this lifestyle? Yeah. Can I have this freedom?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's two parts. There's definitely like, if you look at your unique blueprint in human design, I have a lot of defined centers. I have a lot of channels. I have like the magnetic charismatic channel. I have a lot of the channels just what makes sense. So like, okay, this is why she does all the things that she does. But in terms of like believing in yourself, you can definitely retrain your brain to think differently and decondition how you have been conditioned in this world. So I have my beautiful mom told me I could do whatever I wanted in the world. You know, you can be whatever you want. And so she always kind of installed that in us. So it was never like, oh, you could never do that, or you're not smart enough for that, or you can't do that. So I definitely had a beautiful start from someone believing in me. And then one of my first jobs out of university was I was an EA to Napoleon Purtis, the makeup own company. And I shadowed him through his whole business, through marketing, international exports and imports, like international expansion. So I built their first website with, like I was on the project for the first website. So I don't know, I just had this like introduction to doing it all. And like, this is how you become a founder, and this is how you manage everything. And this is how you be a chameleon, where you go to a bank meeting and then you go to a meeting with Vogue and then you do the makeup for Australian Fashion Week and then you do this. And I was just like, oh, this is how you can be so many people at once. And so I had a really, and I was 23. So I was really impressionable, I guess, at the, and I worked for them for 5 years. And so I was very kind of, yeah, I got a huge impact into self-belief, I guess, through watching and observing Napoleon do and become this kind of international makeup guru at that time. So I think that's where I maybe imprint came from. And then I unconsciously or consciously took that confidence into whatever I did. So there's a combination.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. And I think when we're like jumping into this call, what I said was really interesting about entrepreneurship and business is it feels like now people are starting earlier and younger than ever before, like where they're 18 and they're 20 and they're making six or seven figures. And obviously, like, you know, your journey has been different. I know you got married at 35 and you started your online business at 36. You talked about kind of hitting that milestone about 40. How does it kind of feel like 10 years on from your Saturn return and kind of doing these things at that stage in your life? And it's kind of like this thing that you can start at any time. You're never too late is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Never, never too late. My business partner, when I started my business, the activewear brand in London, she is 2 years older than me. And she went and did her first university degree at 39 and she had four kids. And my mum retrained as a health coach with IIN at 63. And so I think I've been surrounded with people that have not really cared about their age and just gone and done it anyway. Because like, if you're listening out there and you're 30 or you're 40 or you're 20, and you're probably going to work for the next 30 or 20 or 30 years, do you really need to stay in that accounting role that you did at university and you've been there for 10 years? Do you like, it's not a waste if you retrain and you change, because you probably still have another 20 or 30 really good years that you can really enjoy what you do. And so I guess that when I've retrained and left behind my corporate marketing and international business experience, I was so excited to spend the next 30 years in this, you know, this new era of working. And I guess I still, you know, I kind of looked at like when I would see a therapist or an osteopath or anything, you know, you go and see people that are 50 or 55 or, you know, or different ages to you. And you're like, oh, they're still doing work and they love what they do. So why not start over? Because, you know, I guess, I don't know how you felt when you picked your university degree. I definitely, definitely didn't have the life experience to know what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Because I guess that's what the system provides you with. Study until you're 18 and then pick another 3 years or 4 years or 5 years of study. And then that thing you'll do for the rest of your life. But you've never actually had one day in the real world, the working world, or decisions to make as an adult. You just have to kind of take a whim and guess. And so I was actually choosing between COFA, College of Fine Arts, and business. And my business advisor at high school was like, choose the business degree because you'll make lots of money. And then when you'll make lots of money, you can then paint in your free time.
Oh yeah, I think there's such a conditioning around that. I mean, obviously growing up like Asian Australian, if I wanted to do art, my parents were like, no, you need to do something that will provide for you and give you that safety. And so there's a lot of like considerations as well. And I think, yeah, at such a young age, because you don't have real world experience, like I did my work experience at an aquarium and then I ended up, you know, doing a marketing law degree that has nothing to do with aquarium. And now I'm like a life coach. Again, it has all these things don't kind of connect necessarily. There's always like threads. And I always say to people, like, you're not starting from scratch. You're always like starting from experience, like everything that comes with it. I think the kind of wobbly bit around starting again is like that ego death. Like, oh, I definitely felt that, you know, when I left my corporate career, because I think for so many people, like, you build your whole identity around what you do for a living. And so when that's gone, you don't really know who you are. And so even when I started being a life coach, I still didn't understand, like, but who am I as a person? Like, what makes me happy? Because I'm like now in a different job and I feel different. But at the same time, I'm like, it didn't solve every single problem. And so there was this big journey of like my ego and, you know, what they say, like the dark nights of the soul. And, you know, you think you only have it once. You know, I thought I had it when my dad died, and then it would just like, it continually and repeatedly like comes up. What's your experience been like with that, you know, ego death? And I also wanted to say, like, you know, it's so true. Like, you could, we don't look at people's ages when we go to jobs. We just see the person, like, they can do their job. It's not really a consideration.
I guess one of the big, not biggest, it would have looked like a big ego death, but wasn't a huge ego death for me, because it was such a step in alignment that I like, it just, it made so much sense. So that the biggest, I guess, ego death was leaving your big cushy six-figure job and then becoming a solo freelance. And so you're not this title anymore. You're just like a freelance person, you know, and you're going into meetings or proposals. You're not like, oh, I work at Saatchi & Saatchi, or like, you know, you're just like, I'm me and this is what I do. But then I guess when I was, my position as CEO of my activewear brand in London, where we were sold into Goop and Selfridges and Equinox, and, you know, it was this like big status and kind of thing. So when I stepped down from that company as CEO to just me, business coach and therapist, it was like from CEO to just me, you know. Yeah. So that was, I guess, looked like, but why are you doing this? Like, you've got such a like glamorous, fabulous, like crazy, internationally recognized, successful business, but you're just going to just doing online business stuff and hosting, I have a membership called the Self Care Space. And so just hosting your healing membership, like, it's such a big step down or step back. But for me, it was so such a true step in alignment, and that it wasn't such an ego death for me. I was actually super excited, because what came with it was really true fulfillment. So actually letting go of that ego was actually allowed me to step into my, like, my more, a truer version of myself.
Yeah. And it can be so scary to do that as well. And especially being so successful and kind of letting that go and going more into your alignment. And, you know, as human designs, as a manifesting generator, it's like, how relieving was it, at least for me, to find out, like, oh, I'm meant to pivot. I'm not meant to be boxed into one thing. And you start to realize, like, because society has such this thing about quitting, but there's nothing wrong with quitting if you're not feeling happy. It's kind of strange that we would torture ourselves and stay somewhere that doesn't feel good for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the night before the London lockdowns, because I lived in London during COVID, I had a free human design reader reach out to me saying, do you want a reading, human design reading? I was like, I have no idea what that is, but let's do it. And she was like, told me more about my profile, and you're meant to do many things, and you're supposed to be doing many things at once. And, you know, and I was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And the next day I got online, did my first meditation, and like, I gained 10,000 followers from just like stepping outside of my CEO role and really stepping into the healing space. And that really catapulted the human design permission slip, was like, you're allowed to do other things, you're allowed to quit things. That really catapulted my success into the next thing. And I actually am about to retire one of my most popular signature business coaching program, the Consciously Alive CEO. And so many people are like, why are you closing it? Why are you not doing it anymore? But I have to like listen true to myself. Like, I'm done. It doesn't bring me joy anymore. I have to close it I'm closing it on a high note, like when I'm loving it. I don't want to get to a point where I'm like, I fucking hate this. Sorry if I'm not allowed to swear. I'm leaving it at a high point. I'm doing one last live round, and all of this outpouring of testimonials have been coming in saying, thank you so much for changing my life and my trajectory. And yeah, it's been such a permission slip. Thank you, Human Design, for that. And for the random person on the internet, who's now a really good friend, for coming out and inviting me into that new realm of discovery.
Yeah. And I kind of think it speaks to the fact that at any point in time, like, your life can change. You have like no idea what could happen, and kind of like living in that frequency of like possibilities and like potential that anything can happen. And so I know, like, in your journey, you mentioned that you wanted to become a mom and you recently, you know, had your baby girl. And yeah. So how was that like journey of becoming a mother? And I know that you have a really interesting story about your husband as well. He's British born, he's from Uganda, and you know, you kind of had a breakup. So I'd love for you to kind of share more about, you know, your relationship and becoming a mom and that decision. Because I think so many people, as I've been coaching clients lately, they've been saying like, oh, I've been in autopilot mode about becoming a mom. And then some people realize, yes, I do want to be a mom. Some people are realizing maybe I don't want to be. So how was like your journey in becoming a mother?
Yeah, sure. I guess I've been very maternal my whole life. I had a baby sister when I was 8. So I feel like I got the practice of like having her on my hip and like changing nappies and helping mom. So I was always like a very much maternal, wanting kids. And I really thought that I wanted kids like in my early 30s. And I didn't find the right person, or we weren't on the exact timeline to have babies in the early 30s. We met in our early 30s. So it took a little while to get to that point of like, okay, we're ready for a baby. I guess men have different prerequisites than women. Obviously, our biological clocks are, you know, something to consider. But I guess I fell pregnant at 38. I had my baby at 39. And I am so, so content and happy about having a baby now at 40 with my online business and really not trying to keep up with the Joneses or like trying, you know, when I'm spend my whole day with my baby and I'm sweaty and I'm in mum clothes and I'm just running around with other mums, and I do not wish to be anywhere else in the world. I do not fantasize about, oh, I wish I was dancing on tables in Ibiza. I've done that. I wish I was hiking the Machu Picchu in Peru. I've done that. I did so much in my life in my 30s. So it was a blessing from the universe in disguise. Like, even though my desire was, I really want to have a baby. I really want to have a baby. I really want to have a baby. I'm so happy that it didn't come for me until this last year, because I feel so, yeah, well-traveled, well-experienced, tried everything in my lifetime, that I don't wish to be anywhere else. And I think that's such a beautiful blessing for my baby, because I'm truly present with her. I want to be with her. I don't wish, you know, that I was back at work, or I don't wish that I was somewhere else. So that I'm actually really happy that that has happened. I guess in terms of my relationship, when I first met my husband, we were both in like London building our careers, kind of hustling stage. And he is 1 year younger than me, so not super young. But after about 2 years together, I was like, look, dude, I want to have a baby. I want to get married. My last relationship broke up with me after 2 years, and I wanted to do that with him. So, you know, don't mess me around. It's either like in 1 year's time, I either want to get engaged or buy a house or have a, you know, just be, do some of those grown-up stuff. I'm done with the whole dating and like, just, you know, not having a family. And then that 1 year came around, and so we'd been together for 3 years, and I was like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm not waiting one more year. I waited like, you know, probably at that time 7 or 8 years since I've truly desired to have a baby or start a family or be on that trajectory. So I left. I just walked out and went and moved to the other side of London and continued on with my life for about 6 months. And I dated other people and I traveled and I was building my business. And the funny thing is that we ran into each other on a train station in London. And that doesn't happen. If anyone's been to London or lived there or got a tube in London, it is busy. And we ran into each other at a train station in where I lived in Parsons Green. And I was like, I was actually checking him out from the back. I was like, oh, hello, black guy in a suit. That's my type. And he turned around and it was him. I was like, oh my God. What, like, tried to hide. And anyways, 6 months later, we got engaged. And then during COVID, we were supposed to get married. And in COVID, we actually moved to Bali together. So yeah, you just never know. And I think one thing that those lessons have taught me is that, like, never stay complacent, never wait around for someone to propose to you because it's probably not the right person. So if anyone's out there, like, in a relationship and they're wanting that, they want the proposal, they want the baby, and you've been waiting, it's probably not the right person, or it's probably not the right timeline. So don't wait around. Like, and I know it's so, like, I was 33 or 34 when I broke up with him, so definitely not a spring chicken. But now I look back at it, I'm so proud that I did that, because I really, like, listened to my gut and sacral authority, listened to my gut and really acted on that, because it made me a happier version of myself, knowing that I valued myself and I had, like, my self-worth to leave. I had a high enough self-esteem to leave and be like, no, you know what? If this is not going to happen, I'm moving on. But what the universe said, well, we'll just serve him back to you in about 6 months' time.
Yeah. And sometimes you need to take that break, right? To come back together stronger.
100%.
I think that's, like, such a big trusting and faith in, like, divine timing and what's meant to be will be, because you, like, hear those stories about how people separate, they come back together, like a chance meeting again, and things are different. So I think, and even, like, the timelines of you becoming a mother, or, you know, when you started your business, like, it's all trusting that timing for you is, like, the perfect time. Like, you don't have to, like, force anything or make things happen, which, you know, as a manifesting generator, we're here to, like, respond to the world, as opposed to kind of force our agendas and make things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I'm super happy that trusting the universe, I really sharpened that tool over the years.
Yeah. And in terms of, like, your husband, would you say he's, like, a conscious person? Because that's something that comes up a lot in conversations with clients. Like, do I date someone that's also doing the work and they're conscious, or maybe they're, like, the opposite, where they have, like, no interest in spirituality? So I'm curious to hear about your dynamic together.
I guess we're very yin and yang. We have complete polar opposites. But saying that, when we did break up, he went to the jungles in Costa Rica and did a Vipassana, a silence retreat. And I was like the yoga teacher and the meditation teacher. And I was like, being all, you know, journaling and spiritual and angel cards and crystals and, you know, everything. And he saw that and he was like, yeah, you can keep that. But when I broke up with him and I left and I didn't even know that he was doing this, he felt the need and felt that he needed to go and do this kind of spiritual awakening. And that really set him on a different trajectory. And I guess if he was behind closed doors and no one's watching, he is very spiritual, like a very spiritual person, but openly, like, he wouldn't talk about, you know, he doesn't use angel cards and crystals and blah, blah, blah. But he would definitely be more of he's a deep soul. Like, he's my, like, grounding Buddha. He's very, like, grounded and yeah. So we're a different level of consciousness. I would say more outwardly conscious. Yeah. And he would be more inwardly conscious. He's also very much an introvert as well. So yeah, definitely yin and yang, but I guess opposites attract, hey.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think human design supports that as well. And having been together for such a period of time, I'm sure you've seen each other grow and become different people and kind of, like, evolve. What do you think's been, like, your, I guess, secret or insight into, like, staying with each other for so long, but also allowing these different versions of yourself to emerge?
Yeah. So one time I saw a psychic in a van in a festival in London. We were actually broken up at that point. And she was like, there's a man in your life. And I'm like, uh-huh. And she's like, he holds so much space for you to bloom. And it's one of the most beautiful gifts that you can ask someone to have for you. because you're going to bloom again and again, and the petals are going to wilt away, and you're going to shed and you're going to bloom again. And this man, and I'm like thinking in my head, is it Alex? Is it my husband? Is it my ex? Like, he just holds you so beautifully to bloom into whatever version of flower that you want to be. And that, I think, is the key, especially for me, that he does not like stop me from shining. He does not stop me from trying new things. He does not stop me from blooming into a new version of myself. Like, randomly during my postpartum recovery, I was like, I think I might do a neuroscience degree, like go back to school and do that. He's like, oh my God, babe, that would be amazing. You know, where others would be like, where are we going to get the money? How are we going to find the time? Like, all of the things, like the no's. Or sometimes I say, I'm going to like host a retreat in the mountains and for a week and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that sounds amazing. Like, you know, he's never stopping my expansion. So that I definitely is a key to long-term marriage, growth, relationship. That's what I found so far.
Oh, I just got so much tingles when you said like the space to bloom. I think that is like so beautiful and so important. And so, yeah, you guys obviously have like moved to Bali. How is Bali life? Are you loving it? What kind of made you decide to move to Bali? I love Bali. I'm running a retreat there later this year. So it's a magical place, isn't it?
I've been coming since I was about 21. So for nearly 20 years. And it's definitely shifted in terms of, I used to come here to party, but I would always come here to yoga and to heal and to do lots of training. So I've done lots of yoga teacher trainings here as a student, therapy trainings, embodiment trainings. And like, life is easy here in terms of I can like Gojek, which is like Uber Eats or something, anything I want from all over Bali to myself. So I can order shopping, coffee, a massage person. Over here you can afford to have a cook and a cleaner and a driver and, you know, everything. So actually being a mum in Bali, I guess, is super less stressful because I'm not folding piles of laundry and cooking dinner. I get to just be and have the fun times with my daughter. So then, you know, with Bali, if people are thinking of coming to Bali, there's also like, you know, it's hot, stinking hot every day. So if you don't like the heat and sweaty, like sometimes I'm like, this is too much. I need the air conditioning. But no, all in all, it's my soul home. I feel so grounded here. Every time I get off the plane, when I come home from Australia or Europe, I'm like, oh, we're back in Bali. Like, it's so good. I love it.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I think it's been such an amazing conversation with you, like such a journey. We've covered like so many things and stories and, you know, you've had lots of different life experiences. So I thought I would close out, you know, with every guest, I kind of ask four different questions. So to kind of close the conversation. So as you know, I have a book called The Great Unlearning. So I always ask guests, what do you think that your greatest unlearning or a big pivotal unlearning has been in your life to date?
Very deep question, I guess. The biggest unlearning for me has been to find my own pathway out of the system that is offered to us, like schooling, university, find a job, buy a mortgage, settle down, white picket fence. So the biggest unlearning was like, that is not the only way to live.
And if you get your phone out, what would be the last thing that you Googled or perhaps you remember off the top of your head? Just a fun, random question.
Oh, I did it this morning. Let's get Google it. I was Googling a bunch of flowers to send for a friend's birthday, like how to send flowers. Yeah.
That's very sweet and wholesome. Nothing like salacious. Sometimes I ask people and they get really anxious. I'm like, oh, I wonder what you've been Googling.
But yesterday would have been like Googled. Yeah, yesterday would have been like, what's this baby's rash on my bum or on her bum?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
And what's like the best piece of advice or quote that's changed your life or had a significant influence in your path?
Yeah. What's the guy's name? It goes something about like, don't do what you think you need to be in the world, do go and follow like what lights you up and do more of that, because people need someone firm. And I can't remember what mum brain. I have spots, like holes in my brain now from being a mum. And I'm like, don't remember that, mostly from lack of sleep. But yeah, pretty much the essence of it is like, don't do what you think you should do in the world. Like, don't be a lawyer because you're going to get a good paycheck. Don't become an accountant because you're good at maths. Do what lights you up. Follow the joy, because we need more people that have come alive in the world.
I love that. And so thank you so much for being on the podcast, Phoebe. How can people best find you and connect with you? I'll put everything in the show notes, but it'd be great to hear from you as well.
Sure. It's Phoebe Greenacre on Instagram, phoebegreenacre.com website. That's super easy to find me.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Phoebe. It was such a joy to have you.
Thank you so much for inviting me and being here. It's been wonderful to chat with you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode, Beautiful Soul. And if you're interested in working with me, I offer one-to-one coaching as well as human design readings. For more information, visit my website, feedang.com, or message me on Instagram at TheFeedDang. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, beautiful soul.